This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh, the top business stories of the day. We begin with AmBank. AMB Holdings has launched a mutual separation scheme for its employees.
Yeah, so in an email to staff yesterday, it said eligible confirmed employees of AmBank, M Investment and AmBank Islamic could apply for the MSS over a two-week period starting yesterday until January 19th. This was in the Edge Financial Daily. And the MSS is offered purely on a voluntary basis.
Yeah, and keeping in mind that AmBank has over 11,600 employees, and this is for the country's sixth largest banking group, right? And so, you know, with those numbers in mind, you got to look at, say, their cost-to-income ratio as well. Their cost-to-income ratio appears to be disproportionately higher than what the industry average is, while certainly way higher than where the likes of public bank is in the lower 30s. Low 30% cost-to-income ratio at AmBank is, about 57.4% as of the financial year 2017. And to be fair to them, it's come off slightly compared to 2016, almost 59%.
Public bank is always the top when it comes to cost income ratio. It's always very good.
Because they limit the number of toilet papers for their staff and also.
Yeah, that's one
works,
of them.
You know, it works.
That's just anecdotal or true. But, you know, there's also the question of whether the unions are responding to this by. Because people are losing their jobs. Even if they do get a payout, it's not exactly the brightest labor market to be entering at this point in anyone's life.
Yeah, but say looking at, say, macroeconomic indicator, this is not the first round of MSS by any company or any bank for that matter. Mm-hmm. You know, back in 2015, RHB went through the same thing. You know, I think CIMB has also gone through like their T18 program. Maybank has got their 20 program. You know, all these different kitchen sinking programs, as I call them, right? And you have seen the unemployment rate here in Malaysia remain relatively stable, about 3.4-3.5%, right?
And you also, I mean, some banks, they when some staff resign, they don't rehire back. So it's kind of like a way to manage cost as well. So if you look at Maybank's cost-to-income ratio, it's 49.2%. Hong Leong is at 43%, RHB is 50%, CIMB is 50%. So AmBank at 57.2% is at the high end that you can look at. And actually, Affin's cost-to-income ratio shot up due to a one-off VSS cost incurred. So it'll be interesting to see this MSS exercise that AmBank is doing, whether that will impact their expenses as well, although they told the Edge Daily that they do not expect it to have a big impact, but time will tell.
Yeah, and also keeping in mind that this MSS by AmBank, this is coming a few months after that failed merger between RHB and AmBank that was declared. They walked away from it, I think, in August, end of August last year, right? So I think, you know, there were comments even back then from AmBank saying that, hey, you know, even though this merger didn't go through, there will be some form of job rationalization that's going to take place. And sure enough, here we've got this report in the Edge, apparently based on that email that sent out to staff yesterday.
So it's interesting to see whether or not M&A is still at play for AmBank here. A research house in a report last month said that they could still be a potential target. The research house believes that ANZ remains on the path of selling its minority stakes in Asia, as cued from their disposal of its retail and wealth business in October 2016 and its stake in Shanghai Rural Bank in January 2017. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not, you know, there's still an M&A theme here, but if there is, who's going to buy though?
Yeah, I know you've got the likes of Kuap, right? They are one of the few institutional investors here in Malaysia who have yet to have a substantial stake in any kind of financial group. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of talk about, say, Kuap taking up that ANZ stake in AmBank. But then after the news of that failed merger between RHB and AmBank, Kuap has come out to say, no, we're not interested. We are not interested in AmBank's stake. Yeah, so the question here is, who? Will it be domestic or will it be a foreign entity?
Or maybe
entity,
someone
right?
with deep pockets, you know, like the Chinese maybe.
But overall, the theme here is this, because Bank Negara has called for this consolidation in the financial sector here in Malaysia. In short, we need fewer, fatter banks here in Malaysia.
But
people will be tightening their belts. I mean, if you know, often with these mergers, because of the overlap in terms of function, you also have a shedding of jobs, don't you?
Yeah, on M&A, actually, CIMB Group's chairman, Dato Sri Nazir Razak, said recently in the Edge's Turning Points, he said that there has been hardly any talk on banking mergers these days, because even the thought of combining banks quickly brings to the surface the ugly sides of how much excesses there are and can be written off or written down. So that's what he talked about. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see, though, whether this M&A theme will pan out for the banking sector eventually.
Mm. In 2018. Mm. Now, speaking of CIMB, its 52% owned unit, Touch & Go, has received the green light to roll out its mobile e-wallet services.
Touch & Go got the approval from Bank Negara, and the e-wallet service will be operated by TNG Digital Sundaram Berhad, the joint venture company it formed with Ant Financial Group back in July 2017. So this e-wallet will use the QR codes, that's the quick response codes, right, which you can use for online shopping, bill payments, retail payments, as well as P2P fund transfers.
Yeah, so apparently back in May 2017 or thereabouts, Touch & Go ran a pilot program in TTDI. So that pilot project involved TTDI's resident association. You got retailers, restaurant operators, etc., who are all involved in this pilot project.
Now, if you're one of those who took part in the pilot project for Touch & Go e-wallets project, send us a WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or tweet us.
Yeah, and in fact, I think early on when we made the same call out to our listeners, we got some responses on Twitter, I think.
Twitter, yeah.
I don't use Twitter. I don't know what this is. Yeah,
Twitter.
So it's Twitter. Okay. So, for example, you know, talking about some of the pain points when it comes to Touch & Go. So, for example, Will wrote in saying that TNG's Achilles heel is the need for physical reload, which contradicts all tenets of e-payment. Well, perhaps with this e-wallet license that they just got from Bank Negara, it will not entail physical reloads then, right?
Yeah, because it is a problem, I think, for us. Who's, and it's interesting, he talks about the tenets of e-payment, right? The idea, the logic of e-wallets is it should be quite seamless, right?
Yeah, I think that's from Penang Owl. That comment there.
Oh, Penang Owl?
Him. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
Will?
Also,
okay.
There's also Twitter. This other Twitter listener that says that TNG can be used for in retail for many years, just that many were not aware of it. And he says this is by Samuel Tan, who says that our son paid for drinks for me a few weeks back at a retail outlet using Touch & Go.
Right, and so there we go, right? You've got these challenges that have faced Touch & Go when it comes to upping the their prevalence in the retail space. And that is one of the key criticisms against Touch & Go. Look, these guys have been around since 1997. As of the middle of last year, they had over 18 million active users. And what do we use them for? Like Samuel Tan said, the other guy said, right, you just pay for toll and just pay for parking, right?
And
you
got this, LRT.
Yeah, fine.
Buses.
But nevertheless, you got this network, this user base of over 18 million people, right? And you could have leveraged so much more in their technology. So question here is, now that they've gotten the e-wallet license, are they a bit late to the game?
Okay, well, you know, CIMB, which, like we said earlier, owns more than half of Touch & Go. We spoke to CIMB CEO, or Group CEO rather, Tunku Zafrul Abdul Aziz, on The Breakfast Girl last year. And back then, he pointed out to the challenges that could hinder the growth of Touch & Go.
I believe that it should go on mobile, right? The card, even the app, Touch & Go, should be on app should be on the mobile instead of holding a card. And it should be more retail. So that's coming soon. We need to invest in the technology. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's not just about the slowness of banks adopting fintech. It's the slowness of banks to understand and anticipate and predict what the customers want, right? Because at the end of the day, who owns the customer or who wins the hearts of the customers will win the game. So banks need to, you know, so similar for Touch & Go, we need to move on and understand what the customer wants.
That was CIMB Group CEO Tunku Zafrul Abdul Aziz. He was on The Breakfast Grill last year. You can download the podcast.
Yeah, May last year, Tunku Zafrul, I had an interview with him, and he shared that they're looking at using Touch & Go for payments rather than just parking and tolls, and it will complement the direct debit and credit cards. You know, because Touch & Go is definitely strong when it comes to logistics, but he says that it needs to go into retail, which is now what they're doing.
Yeah, Sharad, I think we got another tweet address. Yeah,
it's an interesting one that asks, you know, how is the Starbucks card or app categorized compared to a Touch & Go card? Are they both forms of e-wallets?
Well, not quite, okay, because Starbucks essentially, it's a mobile payment system, right? But you can only use it for Starbucks products. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, if you look at, say, some models in the States, at least in past iterations, you know, they would, Starbucks would try to funnel in, you know, other stuff like iTunes and all these movies and CDs, etc., like into the ecosystem as well. But essentially, it's for Starbucks products only. As opposed to e-mobile, you, like a wallet, you can use it for multiple merchants, mm-hmm. and you can make it comply with multiple banks as well. So that's the idea. That's under Bank Negara's jurisdiction, and that's what Touch & Go got the license
for. Yeah, I think for Starbucks, it's more if you put in monies like for future Starbucks lattes.
Yeah, that's
you know,
it.
Or like yeah. like when you buy at Toys R Us, you buy credits, it's like Toys R Us credits. Hmm. So you don't use it for anywhere else. Whereas
right.
for Touch & Go now, they're looking, you put money into Touch & Go, but you can go at different retail outlets to buy.
Open loop, right? Also. What, open
yeah, there's
loop?
An open loop yeah, versus open. A closed loop. For
it's like your debit card, isn't it? I mean, basically, with a debit card, you can pay for a whole range of things yeah. straight from your bank account.
Yeah, so e-wallet, right? Like a wallet. Now, in looking at that space in particular, though, again, it appears that it could get a bit crowded, you know, by this year. So as of the middle of last year, July 2017, you already had 5 Malaysian banks as well as 20 non-bank entities that held e-money licenses issued by Bank Negara. Now, looking ahead, well, actually, since then, you had Digi in November last year who launched their VCash. Looking at this year, GrabPay set to launch in Malaysia and also across ASEAN. AirAsia could launch its e-wallet service called BigPay by this quarter. Tencent plans to roll out WeChat
well,
Pay as well.
That's a lot. There's a lot of people looking at this pie, right?
Right. So then the conundrum here will be if, let's say, you are a Digi customer mm-hmm. who holds a Maybank account, they've got Maybank Pay as well, mm-hmm. and uses a Samsung smartphone, Samsung Pay, who flies AirAsia, then which e-mobile system do you use? And is this a case of first mover advantage? You know, like, what was the strategy here, right?
Yeah, it also depends on, I guess, as a user, how big a platform you can use it for. That's one. Also, perhaps, also rewards. You know, as I spend and I use your platform, what are the rewards? So I think rewards
is another
big...
Or maybe low fees. I mean, if some of these solutions have fees.
None.
No fees. They
no
never
fees.
Have fees.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also down to big data. You know, it comes down to what people are spending. They can see your spending patterns, and that is the future now.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.